Good evening, one and all. Yes, here we are already partway through November. Opening a parliament today in England, just after the Guy Fawkes Day, which is the 5th of November. And yes, today the King was there with his entourage, officially opening parliament for the winter session after their summer break. And yeah, it's great to see. I'd love to see all the horses and everything like that going out. And one of the things I do actually follow on YouTube is seeing the tourists outside, not Buckingham Palace, but the Horse Guards, where the horses are out, two horses are outside there. And some of the tourists are unbelievable, let alone some of the fashions. I tell you, it makes you wonder if some of them have actually got mirrors. But yeah, it's always interesting. It's always good. And you sort of get to learn the horses' names and stuff like that. So that was good. But that was today. And of course, the weather is what it should be this time of year. None of this 100-degree stuff anymore. We're proper autumnal weather. Well, my guest today, what can I say? Her story is one of basically rags to riches, and from sort of perhaps a young upbringing that started. Lots of things happened and started her on a downward spiral to all sorts of dark places. And as she shares in her new, book, her memoir, No One Can Stop Me But Me, not only did she get there, but she came out. She came out to be one of the sort of top women in her field, her life and her job and everything, how she managed to turn that round. Anyway, we better introduce her and find out more about her, hadn't we? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Jennifer Hernandez. Hi,
Hello.
Jennifer. How are you doing?
Hi.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Right. We've got an issue again, Jennifer, like we had at the start. Let's see if we can get that off right, and then we can move. That's better. Now I've got you. Okay. Do you know what it is? I think I was doing something earlier on the computer, and I've got a feeling the application that I do to do the music shows eats the memory. Yeah, and I end up trying to launch stuff, and half the memory is still locked. But I think we're okay now. Anyway, good to have you on the show. As I said, things started. I mean, you sort of had sort of an upbringing that some people might really love, like carnival stuff and that. But from about the age of eight, things started going wrong for you.
Yeah, I would actually say since my parents divorced at 4, but yeah, really by the time I was 11 was when my mother had to move out of, she chose to move out of state and left me with my father to take over as sole guardian, that really my life took a huge turn.
But didn't you, was it at eight, you had a really, horror sort of type environment that most people would see on the sort of like a fictional TV show or something like that, with the house being vandalized and stuff like that?
Yeah, so it was actually the friend of my mother who lived next door who
Ah,
was
okay.
silently watching and noticing when we weren't there that came in and vandalized the house
Oh
and
my
told them,
goodness.
yeah, told them he was going to kill us and wrote all over my walls. And so I was the one who came home from school to find that all over.
That's I didn't realize it was like that. I sort of read about it and stuff like that. I didn't realize. Oh my goodness. And then you had to know that that person all that time had been there. Oh my, holes being drilled in the wall. Oh, thoughts, all sorts of thoughts come to mind in that. But
Well, she was friends with him, so he used to come over and pretend like he was the friend as he terrorized her the whole time we lived there.
oh my
So.
goodness. And obviously, that at that sort of age, it's very, very,
Traumatizing.
very, very traumatized. Exactly. And then with your parents, and then after that, and you ended up spiraling down pretty deep, didn't you?
I did. So, on my way into 8th grade, I was 13 years old and I started running away from home, doing drugs, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I was completely on a self-destruction path that continued on throughout my teenage years, like all the way throughout my teenage years, eventually having me kicked out of high school with straight F sophomore year, sent to an alternative program. And then, you know, I was able to graduate and pull it together a bit, and from 17 and 19 was off and on homeless.
Right. But you, I mean, you were in, well, you still are in Chicago. And obviously, you know, one of the things at that sort of teen years, you've got the gangs and stuff there, haven't you?
Yeah. So I was looking for, you know, like I said, love in all the wrong places and acceptance. Uh-huh. And I found that acceptance on the streets of Chicago, hanging out with the gangs that I hung out with. They accepted me for who I was, gave me, you know, fun ways to make money and adventure and different things. And that's what I needed. I needed that at that time. And their families took me in and treated me like I was equal, better than my own had. So
that's amazing. Despite what people might think, it was actually, they gave you some form of stability and wanting, you know, wanted.
Love.
Yeah, love.
Yeah,
yes.
And acceptance. Yeah. Love and acceptance, because I wasn't, you know, they had no reason to, and they did it anyway, you know, treating me like I was just like I was normal, you know. And until it depends. That's why I tell a lot of people, like, there's reasons why people plug there. It's because most of the time that they're missing something. Mm. Right. And they find it within that environment. And now, did we do all good things? No, there's a lot of bad things that happen on those streets. You know, it is survival of the fittest, and it's definitely a war zone. And so, but there's reasons why people plug there. And if, you know, if you're coming from a broken home, if you're looking for like role models, and especially like being young boys, if you're looking for a role model, you're going to find one.
Yeah.
If you don't get one, yeah. You know, and it may not be in a positive light, but it's in a light. And you know what? They taught me how to love and how to accept people for who they were without judgment. So.
And that's one of the hardest things, I guess, the feeling alone. And as you say, looking for stuff in totally the wrong places. Yes, you found some solace, obviously. And I guess being a mother, did that help?
Yeah, well, it definitely helped, because getting pregnant, you know, she was my reason to change and to leave that life behind, right? And create the life that I desired versus the one that I was living. And she was also a reason for me to live a better life, so that I didn't have to go through the same things that maybe I went through, you know, as a child. And so I named her Destiny, because she was truly that for me. And just started to dream from that day forward and create the life that I have now.
And that's obviously one of the things in writing your memoir, as I said, no one can stop me but me, is to share this with people, you know, that there is the other side, that you can get through it, you can self-empowerment and that sort of thing. And sure, that's one of the things you set out to share with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I just set out to connect with people in different ways and speak about, you know, all the different ways in which I self-destructed and then had to put myself back together again, you know, and reprogram my inner thoughts and my limiting beliefs in order to create the life that I desire. I think we all forget that we are 100% in control of everything we call into our life and who, you know, what we end up doing. And it's a very simple thing, but it's yet the most difficult thing any of us will have to do in our life.
Indeed so. And one of the things, you know, I actually say to authors a lot of times, because you get some authors who sort of write a book and then, they go to some seminar and there's some author there. So when you write in this format, you've got to do this and you've got to do it that and you've got to do this. And then they rewrite their book. And then about 6 months later, they go to another one. There's another author who says something different. And in the end, there's none of themselves perhaps left in the book. And this is the thing, being true to yourself. And that was one big thing that you basically had to face up to.
Correct. Really being able to be true to myself and learn how to love myself. You know, we always look for love externally, not knowing that if you're not able to give love internally to yourself and put yourself first, then you're not really able to call in that love that you truly desire. Because you haven't even yet learned how to do it for yourself, you know?
Right. To accepting yourself is, you get that with a lot of times, a lot of people who've been through sort of abuse or what have you, they blame themselves. They, for whatever reason, even though it's nothing to do with them, they blame themselves. And to accept themselves, to appreciate themselves, not to sort of loathe themselves, even self-harm themselves because of the stuff they got into. It's the hardest thing to sort of turn around. You've got to, as you say, reprogram yourself almost.
It's definitely, and also remove yourself from anything that is, you know, toxic for you or not really, you know, pouring into you the way that needs to be poured into, you know. So it's an inner battle within oneself, that is for sure.
Indeed. I guess you had to break through not just barriers within the environment, but barriers within yourself along the way.
Oh, yeah. Extreme battles within myself. The battles from within are greater than anything externally. You know, we think that that we're putting ourselves first. We think that we're taking care of ourselves, but really, at a lot of times, when you're in, you know, an emotionally or verbally or physically abusive life, we tend to become people pleasers and always giving without receiving. And then we create these unhealthy boundaries in our relationships where people continue to just take from us and they are not giving to us the same way in which we are giving out. And it just becomes this unhealthy, an unhealthy balance that cannot sustain. Your cup needs to be filled, and people who are taking from it should be the ones filling it. And if not, then you really need to be evaluating like those relationships and put a stop to that, because really nobody can do that except for you.
Some of that's obviously sort of family and you know, within the environment you're in and the support you give. I think that's pretty important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it could be your mom. It could be like, it could be, you know, you may have to step away from everyone in your life to, you know, create those protective boundaries for yourself. But I can promise you, once you do your work, that nobody else, this isn't just because you're doing your work doesn't mean anybody who's damaging you is going to change.
Right.
You have to understand that they're not, they may not be doing their work and they may not evolve in this lifetime. But once you do your work, you're able to create healthy boundaries for oneself to where they'll be able to come back in and you won't have any, you know, unmet expectations, because you'll know that you're not to expect too much, you know, and really to just create your boundaries and keep your healthy boundaries to protect yourself.
And that's a hard thing, setting boundaries, because I mean, if you're like me, you sort of, you double doubt yourself. You sort of, give them one more chance, give them this, oh no, well, you know, well, I can't work this out. My family was never like this. How can this person, that, you know, not call if their parents are dying and you're looking after this, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I've sort of come across, and I think, yeah, but you give them a chance, and all they do is walk over you. You've got to set a boundary, and that's a very hard thing, I found.
It's very hard, and I think, too, any of us who've been through this in life, because I haven't always been the greatest version of myself, you know, we are all imperfect beings in a very imperfect world.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect.
But because like I have been through some of the things that like people may be doing to me, like I have a soft spot, because I'm like, oh, she's just not being, you know, she's just not being her greatest self right now. Mm-hmm. She's operating from her lower self. So I just want to keep giving them opportunities, but they keep hurting me.
Yes.
Subconsciously. You know, and I keep taking whatever they're delivering, and that is self-sabotage still, because you accepting it is your sabotage, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can definitely understand there what you're saying, and can only imagine how hard it was. But it's been worth it, because you've transformed your life. You found success. You found happiness. As you say, against all the odds, you've done there. And when did you start sort of really coming to terms and getting your life turned around, or is it something you still work on?
I mean, it's always a work in progress, right? Like, I feel like different levels, new devils.
Yes.
Have you ever heard
good,
that?
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to use that, right?
So as we evolve to like our next level of success and growth, it's like the whole world has to come in on you again, because that life now has to be burned down for the new one to come, you know? So it's a constant, the work is never done, but I will tell you 2023 for me has been like my year of like self-discovery and self-love and really like putting myself first and really trying to honor myself. And I will tell you, it is so difficult, so difficult to do and to stop all of the self-sabotaging behaviors that keep me circling where I'm at, you know?
Right. Right.
And I know that like, in this level, as soon as I'm able to be strong and stand away from them, the life that I desire is going to come in. And it's so beautiful. And I can't wait to, you know, I didn't think I was going to ever write another book
right.
after this one, but there's definitely a sequel coming.
there must, I always ask that towards the end. But in your book, No One Can Stop Me But Me, which basically tells you, how did you begin to understand your worth, get your energy and professionalism and stuff like that? Was it something that you worked towards, or was it just you found the niche in something and realized that this is something you could do and you could help people along the way with doing it, like indeed your book does?
Right. So I have a servant-driven heart for sure. And I got in the mortgage industry in 2005 or six.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And so I became really, really good helping less fortunate people with credit challenges, because I've had so many obstacles I've had to overcome in my life. And so many times I've had to rebuild my own credit. So I became a specialist at that. And I never understood when I got in the industry why I was so great at it until I put it together. And I was like, because I'm still helping people. Mm. Like my mission is to help others. I'm helping people fix their credit, create generational wealth, purchase homes, which is equity. You know, that's where most people, that's the largest purchase most people make in their life. It's a big deal. That's where we raise our families. So I'm helping people, which is why it's like second nature for me. Right?
And let's just say that, you know, you're not just an average one. You are in the top 1% of loan officers in the country with over 18
top
years
1%.
You know, invested in the mortgage industry and stuff like that. And I think it's because, as you say, with what you've been through, you can perhaps see and understand some things that other people can't, who haven't been there. As we say in England, you've been there, done it, and got the T-shirt. Yeah, you have, and I think that's perhaps why, and also why you're helping people with the book as well, is the fact, you know, that you've found your niche in this environment.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely have found my niche. And I also tag team that with creating change in the neighborhoods I work in, because I'm very, very passionate about creating change. And so I actually became number one in the state of Illinois for FHA lending in the last couple of years, been top 50
right.
in the country. So it's been truly amazing.
Right. Now, the title of the book, No One Can Stop Me But Me, is this the sort of thing that, you know, when you look at it, you're the one limiting yourself. You're the one that's holding yourself back. Is that what you're trying to say in the title?
Exactly. We are the only ones that hold us back. Like, people sometimes like to project or shift blame, but there's no one that's responsible for your life or your greatness except for you. And we don't realize that a lot of times, but we create all that we call in. And we're the ones who, you know, choose the path we go. Mm. Nobody else is except for us. And it's funny because a mentor of mine, he actually asked me, like, I've seen you, you know, say that you're going to do this. And then the next day it happens. He's like, I've never seen somebody execute so quickly. Why do you think that is? And I said, well, because no one can stop me but me. And he's like, oh, my gosh, that's it.
one of the mantras like that I had at work was, say yes and do it, or else say no. Because too many people say yes and they never get round to it, or they never do it. If you say yes, do it. If you don't think you can do it, say no. You know, don't lead somebody on. Don't sort of, you know, make broken promises. If you say yes, then you do it, and that is the important thing. That too many people.
That's
integrity. Yeah. Too many people just okay, I'll get round to it. Yeah, I'll do it. No. Only if you can do it, you say yes. Yeah, it's...
Well, people don't realize, so that's a part of integrity, right? So if our integrity is not in line, as soon as our integrity falls out of line, as soon as we do the opposite of what we say, we literally stop our progression.
Stop
what we're doing. Stop what we're shooting for. Stop. We prevent our greatness from coming every time that we do that, and we don't realize that.
Yeah, there's a there's a thing when John Major was Prime Minister of England, he brought out a thing called the Citizens Charter, which basically gives people, everyday people, all sorts of rights. Like, you know, you can take stuff back to get changed without having to have signed receipts. If somebody like gas or electric says they're going to come, if they don't come within 2 hours, you're entitled to a credit. The price you see is the price you pay on stuff like that. All that sort of thing, which there isn't in America and is needed so, so, so badly. You know, you just haven't got a say in stuff. When I came here and I sort of went to pay for something and the price was this, and then I ended up paying everything else with the tax and everything else, I couldn't understand it. Hang on, you know, it says this is the dollar menu at McDonald's, but you're charging me $1.34. What? How can you pay that? You know, advertising it as a dollar menu. And I think with that, you end up with a trust, because if you've got somebody who says they're going to turn up at such and such a time and they turn up, then you're going to use that person again. You know, it's a good start, shall I say. But if you've got somebody who says, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I'm sorry, I've been held up at another job, I'm going to be here, well, it might be another couple of days now, you know, and you wait in and you wait in and they don't turn up. Negative straight away, isn't it? I mean, it's the negative vibe comes out, and people lose jobs because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting on the soapbox.
That's what we do.
Yeah. You said, I mean, the book doesn't come out till what, January, is it?
January 16th. We are on pre-sale right now. You can pre-order it. It's No One Can Stop Me But Me. But January 16th is the official launch date.
And have you had any sort of pre-readers reviews? Or, yeah, what's the reviews so far, feedback you've had?
They've been incredible. My mentor did the foreword in the book, and I just couldn't have asked for a more incredible word that was spoken on it. And also I had the writer of The Matrix, who gave me an incredible review. Trisha LaVargas from LA Style Magazine. It's been incredible.
And I think it's one of these books that can really empower not just women. I think it's an empowerment book for all people who, no matter, yeah, basically it shows no matter how down, how you've been, what you've been through, where you've come from and stuff like that, there is a way out. There is faith in yourself, the belief in yourself, and work, you know, go for that star sort of thing. And I think it's the sort of book that a lot of people and a lot of work environment people will also look forward to reading and understanding.
Yeah, I think there's people from all walks of life that can connect to something in the book, because there's just so much that I personally have been able to overcome. And you know, even like being a single mother, raising four kids on my own, 100% commissioned position, you know, living payday loan to payday loan. There's so many things that I have been able to overcome and then walk into, you know, a couple years, 4 years later, after living payday loan to payday loan, to making over $1 million. Like, that is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the epitome of the American dream, if you like, but you're showing not that it can be done, but what you have to do and have faith in yourself and work towards and stuff like that. You know, it's not going to come to you on a silver platter, but you've gone through it and come out the other side. And this book is something that you're sharing with people how you had done it and how they can do it.
Yeah. And just for like $20-something of reading something like that, you can literally like grab motivation that you maybe didn't have. And, you know, and a lot of times, like that, which is a huge part of my book too, but the only reason I got here is because I wasn't afraid to go all in and invest on myself. And I had to invest in me, you know, That is something that had to happen. Without the investment in me, none of this would have been possible. Right. And I continued to have to invest in me. And I invested in me when I was broke.
Right.
And that is the time when you truly have to invest in yourself. You can sit there and make all the excuses in the world of why you can't afford it, but don't go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Don't pay for the Netflix. Pay for something that's going to motivate, inspire, and move you through where you are. You know, and don't dig your rabbit hole. Instead,
yep.
while you're in the midst of it, picture the life you desire, not the one you're living.
Indeed, indeed. You mentioned, this was meant to be a one-off, but you've obviously getting ideas for the second book. What sort of ideas are you getting now then? Without giving too much away, obviously.
The self-love and really, and also, you know, healing the emotional trauma.
Mm.
See, the thing about emotional trauma is we don't know it exists. When we're physically abused, we're aware. When we're verbally abused, we're aware. You know, when we're sexually abused, we're aware. But the emotional abuse
yes.
is the silent but deadly
because
yep. we can't attack it. We can't dive deep into it because we don't know where the root of it comes from.
Mm.
But what we do know is that our triggers, the things that make you go 0 to 100, that's just not your attitude and your problem. That's your emotional trauma that you don't know exists.
Okay.
That's what that is.
That's great. Well, Jennifer, it has been a true pleasure chatting to you. But time goes by. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, about your book, No One Can Stop Me But Me.
Thank you so much. My name is Jennifer Hernandez. I am on Instagram at I am Jen, J-E-N-N, Hernandez. You can also go to my website at www.iamjenhernandez.com. And again, it's spelled the same way, just like on Instagram, J-E-N-N Hernandez. Also, Amazon is selling the book, Simon & Schuster, and you can find it anywhere and pre-order now at No One Can Stop Me But Me.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being a guest. It's been a true pleasure. Really enjoyed it. And I'm sure a lot of people will not just take, you know, knowledge from this, but perhaps, you know, it will help them. Reading your book's going to help them turn their own life around. That's all we can hope. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Truly an honor.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Jennifer Hernandez. And we've been talking about her book. It comes out in January, but you can pre-order it. Go on, pre-order it. Treat yourself for Christmas. No One Can Stop Me But Me, and it's by Forefront Books. I think it comes on January 16th. I seem to remember it's coming out. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. But until then, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.